Nate.
Hey, Donovan. I'm not really back. I am remote today.
It's like weird. Nebraska is in, I don't know what.
Winter hell?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it seriously looks like Nome, Alaska.
We've hit, it
has nothing to do with
snow in December alone.
Yep. Yeah, it's not it's not a Nebraska thing. At this point, it is a like two-thirds of America thing. It is.
Yeah.
I heard on the news today, it is colder in Texas than it is in Antarctica. That is
what?
Messed up.
Yeah, it was
yes.
like 22 in Antarctica. I mean, it looked pretty nice. It's like
it's fucking
it's
fantastic
like a
down there.
Reggie.
I mean,
well,
right,
got pulled over the
right now it is 2 degrees. And
I was say we're experiencing a 20,
well,
but it's a negative 20.
The wife is not at work today.
Yeah, neither is mine.
They called it off because of wind chill.
They'll do it tomorrow,
chill.
Too.
School. They call
yeah,
it school.
School. Because at 30, at 6 degrees with a 30-mile-an-hour wind, it's well below negative.
Tomorrow, I guarantee that they do it, too, because they're supposed to, low is negative 25, which it would be, which would beat 120-year low for our record.
The non-wind-aided low?
Yeah, from what what they said.
God.
Pretty awesome.
So we're supposed to have negative 30 to negative 40 with wind chill today.
I'm telling you, man, the weather's a big wedgie right now. The weather from across the globe got pulled over the top.
Yep.
And I think a lot of clients just aren't sending work because they're not even going to the office right
now. They're not there. They're not there.
Productivity has
slowed. Like just closed.
I actually shorted out a wire because I left my computer in my car a little too long. And when I plugged the wire in, got a short and a brand new wire because the wire had frozen.
Wow.
That's messed up.
It's a little bit awesome and a lot wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, Nate. So what are we here for? Or what are we...
Well...
Yeah.
It is the future.
Oh,
it is 2010.
Yeah. I forgot to pay bills. If it was the future.
Oh.
Steve, in the future, there are no bills.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that I froze everybody. They were like, what? I'm like, dude, it's the future. We missed a lot of shit.
Yeah. You gotta go back.
No. You're evicted, buddy. So you might as well just stay here.
Well, we knew he just woke you up, so we were like,
because,
actually thought you were serious. Like,
because it was the future.
Okay.
No, so I thought you were like, oh, what the hell? Is it Thursday?
Okay, so it's 2010.
Sorry, dudes, I gotta go. I gotta pay some bills.
So it's 2010, which is a badass name for a year.
I would agree.
Yeah.
2010 is badass.
And please don't call it 2010 because we didn't call it 1999.
There you go.
Steve, thank you for
there you
that
go.
One.
There you go.
It's 2010.
It's 2010. Or, you know, it won't be.
Well,
really cool
2010 rolls
name.
Off. 2010 rolls
two
off the tongue.
Not.
Pretty good.
I like 2Y1Not. That's what, that's what you do if you're doing rap songs.
Okay.
2011 doesn't really have the poetry to it. But, like, 2012, I think, like, that's the jam. 2012 sounds good. So we'll have that in about 2 years. Anyway, so what we're going to do today, what you gents are going to do together and I'm going to do from wherever it is that I am in this, you know, icy wilderness is let's recap.
Oh, it does look like hot.
It does. There is shit outside that looks strikingly like the ice caves of Hoth.
Not the
we are going to
but,
recap. No. If I can pull it back together here.
Ah, sorry, Nate.
We are going to recap the previous decade. Because a lot of people did best of 2009 lists, and I don't care. You know, whatever. Everyone's doing those. We're doing the best of the decade. We're closing it down. We're not going to do another one of these shows for 10 years.
Is it just the best of the decade, or just what happened during the decade?
Oh, I was kind of thinking like...
I don't know.
Like
biggest
crap.
Yeah.
What was this one time?
I believe Donovan has it pretty straight, and this shouldn't be all that difficult because, with the exception of possibly Donovan, I believe the entirety of all of our careers occurred within the last decade.
No,
I'm Donovan's age.
Yeah, we started. We had a few years in those in the glory days of the last millennium.
Back in the main difference?
I seriously
between the 90s and the aughts.
Less money.
Less money, and we thought our computers were awesome 10 years ago, and they're not.
No, I mean less. We were in the dot-com boobs 10 years ago, baby.
That's true. There was tons of money rolling around.
98, 99 was awesome.
See, I was still in high school.
I feel like that's a fantastic place to start.
Or decade, not the century. That'd been a long time.
I remember the Y2K scare. I remember being at First National Bank. That's where I started my career, and I remember everyone freaking the hell out. Back up your computers. We're going to the dark ages. I remember that.
I remember. Yeah. Internet Explorer 3 was the worst browser ever to design for style sheets for. Because it tried to do everything, but it broke everything.
Nice.
And
did it have style sheets back then?
Well, it thought it did, but it didn't read any of them right. So the nice part, my happiest moment of Y2K was since it was not a Y2K compliant browser, we no longer had to code for it.
Oh, nice.
The minute that machine rolled over, IE3, ignored.
Nice.
Can we do that with IE6 now? Because it's not a Y10K.
I think we can do that anyway.
Yeah.
Just
how let about, it go. Hey, Steven.
Yes, sir?
How about Y10K? How do you feel about that?
Y10K? That's not bad, man.
Can we coin Y10K?
Pull it out for parties only. It sounds a little bit black tie for me.
All right. Formal. That's fine.
But I like it.
So I think, yeah, the Y2K, that is, that's a good place to kick it off. But I got to be honest with you, and I was thinking, like, the two, like, major economic downturns were definitely on my, like pre-list for this show. And I kind of feel like the dot-com bust feels kind of quaint now. Like, when you think about it, you're like, oh, I remember that economic downturn. That was so cute.
We're focusing this more on, like, design, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, the biggest...
Let me ask you, was your design affected by that?
No, because I was in high school gym.
Right, so Adam gets a pass.
Right. No, pass. I don't think... you know... For me, I didn't even really know about the dot-com bust just because it hadn't hit as big here. It was really a Silicon Valley located thing. You know, people weren't buying dot-coms willy-nilly all over the net like we're doing now. I heard about it, read about it, still didn't understand it. I mean, like, oh, the dot-com bust, and people were still making dot-coms and having web companies. So I think it was a really specific subset.
No,
that got
see,
hit.
I was working at a tech company.
Oh,
so they
yeah.
went from 200 employees here in Omaha to four of us.
Oh, so yeah, that
before
that hit
my
you.
Contract finally went away.
And see, I wasn't working at tech, so yeah, I think it hit tech. I think it hit tech specific.
What it really did was take away the pets.com sock puppet, and I will still not forgive the economy for doing that. Anyway,
it was on for a few years.
You know, he came back for, like, other companies. Like, everyone deserves a second chance. I'm a sock puppet.
Right.
Yeah, we can let that go.
Well, I think the biggest thing in design, I think, happened in the year 2000, which for the whole, you know, 10 years before this.
The entirety of the decade.
Yeah, and I think that was the butterfly ballot because it actually brought –
Yeah.
It brought design.
That was good.
I mean, nationwide, they just talked about design, and design can affect an election. Design affects everything.
And it wasn't about how pretty it was. It was about how functional it was. That was awesome.
It really did change the focus on a lot of people's thought that, oh, you mean these guys do more than just, you know, make things look good?
Yeah, pretty pictures.
Yeah, no. Our man Drew Davies is out there to this day trying to clear up, like, election and ballot design.
Yeah, how are they still working on 10 years later?
I know.
It's
we need to give them some
yo, that's
that.
The political system, man.
I was just going to say, have you ever seen how quick the government works?
firsthand.
Yeah, that's how. But they're doing it. They're getting, they're making movement. They're making motion.
Nice.
Okay, Adam, you, what other big event do you have to talk about?
Well, I think one of the early 2000s, something that changed the game for designers was Adobe buying Macromedia and then turning out Creative Suite.
Oh, and they got rid of my freehand.
Right.
That was huge.
It was about, I think it was 2003 when that happened.
We were doing the Be a Design Cast back then. It wasn't that long ago.
Are you sure?
That was one of our like first shows. We were like,
copyright on the back of my
CS1
though that I have at work says 2003, but they may have been sitting on that for a few years.
Well, I think, I'm a little fuzzy on the chronology of it. I think they might have done the first CS before the merger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not certain about it, but certainly like the unifying Creative Suite and Adobe gobbling up Macromedia.
It did
like,
make it nice where
if
you have to buy your own software, then you had to buy both web and print software. Now you can buy just one suite instead of two suites. It actually saved me money.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's something that, like, started to happen, you know, early 2000s and has constantly improved or, you know. But also,
it used to be that you would buy one piece.
Right.
Like, I'd hear people who had Photoshop but didn't have anything else. Or you had Illustrator or even Freehand, but you didn't have the whole suite together to do work.
Right.
Right. And I'll tell you what, when you did, you were like king of the block.
Yeah.
Like,
you were,
man, I got all of the programs.
It made it a lot more accessible for, I think, a lot of designers.
White walls on a Schwinn, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the negative part of that is it's so affordable that anyone has the money to start up their own studio.
That's my big, big movement. My big thing in the 2000s would have been, or the early, you know, the first part of the decade is, and it's kind of tied to the dot-com bust, is that kind of anarchy brings it back down to zero. And when it built back up, everybody had a chance to get their hands in on it. Computers were more affordable. They were faster. You know, there was a rise in people who could get their hands on the software. And then people started to kind of circumvent the what started to become a tried and true system. It wasn't how long did you go to school or where did you go to school. It was how quickly did you get up and running. And so, you had kids in high school who said they had businesses. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Adam.
That's what I think. Like, although it's made it accessible, and I, as a business, like it, what I think it does do for the design industry that's made it somewhat of a negative, it makes it more about the tools of the trade versus the trade itself. So people attribute design more to, oh, do you have Photoshop? Oh, do you work in Illustrator? And I think that change in how we buy our programs has contributed to that quite a bit.
Makes it a novelty, too.
Right.
Anybody can get their hands on what you do. Like, I can't walk in and go buy a stethoscope, a lab coat, and a pocket protector and go play doctor. I can't do that.
But you can on TV.
Damn it. You're always
totally. But now, like, as far as software goes, like, this is honestly, if you really start to look back, this was the decade where design software grew up and where computer systems and the software that we use really sort of came of age. If you look at where that software was at the turn of the century, back in like 98, 99, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It was
stuff. Look back in your software archives. Photoshop never looked so old.
I remember in high school, it was the first time I got to work in Photoshop. This was in 99 when I was.
It's fine. Sophomore? You're younger than us. It's okay.
Sophomore. The first time I got a chance to do it, we had to take photos of ourselves and put them in these old Baroque type paintings and like. Put our face where, like, the king's face were. And I just remember it was horrible, and I just vowed I'd never work in Photoshop again.
I remember programs that went away, like, right at the turn, like Aldus Painter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there are things
Aldus.
Yeah, there were things that that were around that were going to be the next big thing and never quite panned out in the 2K.
Well, I feel like Painter's still around. Like there are illustrators for that, but it's a hell of a difficult program to use.
It's
like
really
they could take some lessons from Photoshop.
Mainstream. Yeah, that's the thing, is it never went mainstream. It never became part of a suite.
Nobody ever says, "Oh, that cover was a painter."
Yeah, that's a fantastic.
They always say it was Photoshop. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep on the break. I gotta take a call here.
Okay. What? Okay. So we gotta thank Adam for being on the show. He's gotta take off. He's got a big day ahead of him.
Thanks, guys.
Steve's gonna be.
Yeah, Adam. Thanks for being here.
Nice. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, but the whole design blog thing allowed to me anyway to feel like I actually could kind of keep up with things without subscribing to every magazine. Not that I don't read some of the magazines.
Yeah, totally.
But they're always a little bit behind.
Well,
I assume this is what it was like living in New York. I mean, New Yorkers, I assume, just always had access to everything.
Completely. It's a different world up there, man.
And Omaha, not that we have the access you had in New York, but it almost feels like you're on the outskirts of New York, like you're within driving distance all of a sudden.
Because you can email people, you can talk to people, you can check out what's actually being said. New York is like that for a lot of industries, music, theater and all that. It's such a microcosm. That's why they say if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, because they feel that nowhere else matters.
there's New York for you, but
yeah. Anything that's going on up there is being shared, and when the blogs and the communication went wide, everyone could pick up on it. You know,
opinion.
Well, and everyone else could contribute too, and I think that that was the most important thing.
Definitely.
To come out of that.
Yeah, that also contributed to the demise of that centrally located space, because as people branched out, they figured they figured out that they could do it on their own, and they figured out how to do it on their own.
So can we say like the connectivity of design is one of the biggest things that happened in the last decade, where now you don't have to live in New York to do work for people in New York. You don't have to be near your clients necessarily, because communication is so much easier.
I think it goes hand in hand with the technology. Yeah. And that,
yeah.
Almost more important than the software growing up, I think it was that the lines of communication grew up. And so the reach became a lot farther. And so I would put that right up there next to, you know, Creative Suite and Adobe buying Macromedia and all those things. I think the growth and the maturity of the actual technology to do that, like you said earlier, it gave a few yahoos in the Midwest a chance to be able to say a few things.
You know,
well, right. And that's how it started off, where it's like, oh, someone is talking. And then, you know, eventually, and I'm not sure if we're recapping stuff that is on the show at this point or if it's stuff that was lost, but yeah, it certainly made it, at least in the beginning, before everyone figured out that, oh, that's the thing about blogs, anyone can use them. You know, it gave a lot more importance to basically whoever was talking
right
at the beginning.
And podcasts seem to follow them by a couple of years.
Mm.
But they're still around a little more. But I don't know if they'll have the same fate.
In between came the forum, where you didn't have to go to the blog post to comment. There was actually the comment page actually jumped out and became its own forum. So there was a lot more back and forth banter. So you would go to the blog and read, but you wouldn't necessarily stay at the blog and comment.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, forums were around before blogs became a big thing, but it was another place to go online to be connected to people.
Well,
and, they had their own rules and yeah.
And the blogs, I think, empowered the forums to actually have some content to go talk about.
I could see that.
You know, and it's funny because the way people communicate seems to have changed the way we design some things as well. Because I remember, you know, 10 years ago, if you gave someone a business card that was off size, it might stand out a little more.
Yeah.
But the first thing they'd say is like, this isn't going to fit in my Rolodex. Because that's how I keep all my phone numbers.
The demise of the Rolodex.
But now people just type it in their phone so it doesn't, and then they throw away the business card.
Right.
So all of a sudden, like something that stands out
yeah.
is actually seen as, oh, this is cool, rather than, oh, this is going to be a pain for me to file.
Totally. Yeah. That's true. That's very true.
All right, gents. I think that's going to do it for my time on the show today. I have to run off. I have to do some things. So thank you. I know we've gone from 4 to 3 and now to 2 guys left.
Nate, before you leave.
Yes.
Wild prediction for the next 10 years of design.
Ooh. Hmm. I'm hoping for Minority Report style user interfaces. Gesture only interfaces in design. So what's going to happen? And this was another thing. Damn it. See, now it's like, okay, now we get to back to other things I want to talk about. But like, what, you know, a huge resurgence in the last decade was getting back to handmade work after, you know, everyone had their computer orgy that was the 90s. I think that what's going to happen going forward is we're going to get some crazy mad gesture interface things. And so it's going to be like you're working with your hands, but in a digital form. So you can get back to, you just throw a ruler down on your computer table to draw a straight line with your finger. I don't know. That's my wild, wild prediction.
You heard it here first.
Flying cars, baby. Flying cars.
Fly. Also, if you know what? God damn it. If I had a flying car, I would be there in the office right now to record this show. So I could fly over this garbage that's all over my street.
Okay, Nate. Thanks for your time. We'll catch you next time.
Gentlemen, see you. Thanks again. Big thanks to Adam. You guys have fun wrapping up the show, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Other things I think that have been hugely influential, obviously the iPod. Not only has it changed the music industry, but it's made people think that, oh, a design can actually sell something more so than was before. Not that it couldn't before,
right.
But that mainstream media talks about it.
Well, and it also, it lent the name to the very thing that we're doing, podcasting. It wouldn't be
right.
called that without taking it on your iPod.
Why isn't it called iPodcasting?
Because it was too long.
Registered trademark.
It was too long because you would get old saying it. You need to be quick, short quips of information, Donovan. It's the future.
But that actually started in the 90s with the iMac when they had
the Blueberry.
Right, and they started selling, like, you'd go to the hardware store and, like, your hammer started looking like an
iMac. Uh-huh.
But mainstream media wasn't talking about it really till the iPod, and they're like, oh, a design company is huge.
Well, and Apple, you know, stepped out on the forefront and kept making these really sexy things that didn't look... They got the knock that they weren't ready for the heavy lifting, but they looked really good. And then when people bought one, they found out it could do some heavy lifting. You know, even your work Mac, back in the day, your Mac it still looked like a PC. It was beige. It wasn't, you know, all gleamy, sexy until they came out with the Blueberry G3. And then it was like, that thing's too pretty to do work.
Yeah, and then they went to the metal.
Yeah. No, at first it was the white. They went to that kind of gleamy white, and then
that's
the metal.
Right.
Yeah.
And those were in the 2000s where they're like, okay, we can make it look sexy, but not to where it's going to freak out the CEO.
Right, right. Metal does work. Oh, yes, it does. Right. And so, yeah, design became a really big thing. To sell products, useful products, not just pretty things, but those good-looking things were also useful. I think that marriage of design and the importance that design could actually have a function was really big.
Okay, so my prediction, next 10 years, in design, the big thing, where it's kind of, Nate's saying things were going handmade to stand out.
Right.
Because there's still going to be a lot of stuff that's going to look professional and computer-like.
Right.
And now I'm thinking, because there's a lot of things already handmade, all of a sudden I'm thinking that's starting not to stand out anymore. I'm starting to call it the Juno look, because Juno, once Juno did it on their movie poster, then they became the poster child for it for me.
Yeah, crafty.
Pun intended, whatever you want to say. I'm thinking the next step, to me, logically, for the next 10 years, is going to be purposely terrible-looking work. Like, purposely bad.
Like functionally lazy. Like, just throwing some crap out there.
Because if I make it look like someone could do it themselves, that's not standing out. But if I make it look like a monkey could do it, then that's standing out.
Right, because everyone's so clean now.
People are going to, like, be throwing bananas and who knows what on their work.
I can see that happening.
That's my prediction for the 10 years.
It's the reverse of grunge. Grunge is going to come back.
And see, I'm kind of cheating here, because I've already seen the 2012 logo for the Olympics.
Ah, yes.
And I think that might be what they're doing.
Yes. I think you're right. I think that happens. I think it's a natural backlash of the anyone can do it sort of thing. Like,
but can anyone do it this bad?
Exactly. Like, they're taking bad to new good proportions. Like, I'm really good at doing it bad.
What's the wild prediction? Other than the flying car might be 10 years late, because we were supposed to have them by 10 years. Oh, it'll be 20 years late by then.
Yeah. Damn it. That took away what I was going to say.
And the other thing is for any of you listening, saying that this isn't the official decade, because the official decade end is next year.
Right.
But see, something about going from 2001 to 2010... 2011, whatever it is, it's boring.
Yeah, that throws me off. Like, millennium didn't start until 01.
This is the 10 years of the aughts.
Right, the aughts going away. You know, it's strange. I think that along with what you just, you know, mentioned about those kind of uber handmade things going to almost like, I crapped on a piece of paper.
And I can do that. I'm going to make a lot of money doing that.
Tons of money doing that. Now, I think two parts. I think communicators will become, you know, really, really important designers who can actually communicate. I think with all the technology and the ease of use, and, you know, you don't have to, the idea is that you don't need a lot of schooling to do it. Design has this, anyone can do it. Do you have a charge account with Mac or with Apple, and you can go buy your computer and get your software? I think we've dropped the ball on who can actually communicate, who can actually convey a message, solve a problem. I think that's going to continue to get important, more and more and more and more important. In terms of style, I think that I think what you said is true. I think there's going to be that backlash, but along with that, humans are tactile. We like to touch things. We like to feel things. Nate said that they're going to have, you know, the Minority Report interface. At the end of that movie, he was driving a regular car, not a flying car. So I think it's going to swing back, and with all the technology.
Why do you make your predictions based on Tom Cruise movies?
Because it's awesome. Tom Cruise has special powers.
We've already determined that. I make all my predictions based on Sean Connery movies.
No, see, my prediction was, it was playing off of Nate's prediction of the interface. Because I think that people have been trying to kill print for the last, 40 years.
What do they say? The death of print just went into its fifth printing?
Exactly.
Or the end of print is what it was, right? Yeah.
The end of print went into its fifth printing. I think that's going to come back as things, people learn that print doesn't just mean paper. Anything you can put a mark on is technically print. So it's going to be other mediums, other things.
Before we started recording, before you even got here, we were talking, they're starting to put up a few digital billboards in town.
Yeah.
Now, technically, that's not paper. Is that print?
To me, it's still print because it's composition. It could be, if you printed it out, it would look the same, maybe not as vibrant because it's not LED lights, but it's not motion graphics. It's not a website. It's not moving. It's not interactive. Well, interactive in the case that you're reading it. But to me, that would fall in the category of print, but that means that print is too narrow a category.
Yeah, I think, and it's not like people, you have to broaden this too, because when people talk about the death of print, they're not talking about the death of what's being printed.
Right.
They're not talking about the death of the content.
Right.
Do they even know what they're talking about?
I don't think so. When people say, oh, are you a print designer or a web designer? Well, that's crap. You're going to make me choose between paper and computer. I actually can do a lot more than that. I can wrap your vehicle. I can design the front end of your website. Someone else is going to code it. You know, there's so many things that get left out when you just choose the black or white option like that.
Okay. In the last 10 years, we have gone from photo CDs,
mm-hmm.
which if for you guys who weren't around before there was iStock, you bought from photo disc CDs of stock art.
Yeah, these gigantic collections of actual photos.
And if you went into a place, I mean, they put those out to let you know that they were a serious design shop.
They had
two dozen photo CDs with 100 photos on each one. They had access to 2,000 images.
It's like a throwback music collection. Like, if you could pull out your vinyl, you were a serious music listener. If you could pull out your photo CDs, you were a serious designer.
Yeah, and that you could, of course we can do your campaign in that rush time because we have access to these upwards of hundreds of images.
Yeah. I suggest the handshake.
And those are completely gone.
Right.
And now they're down to dollar images on iStock.
Yeah.
What's the future of resources like this? 10 years.
That's a good question, man. Another 10 years. You think of it this way.
I'm thinking there'll be no print. It'll only be sound. So
we will speak our designs to people.
But cameras will just, if you're in the photography business, I'm sorry. I mean, nobody will even look at photos.
They'll have an implant where you blink and you take pictures, and so everyone will have a camera, and that will be the marketing campaign.
Right.
Is have eyes.
Everyone has Photoshop.
Yeah.
Everyone has it's going to be rough.
Yeah, but you know what? It's times like that when you can set yourself apart. I think that's when everything steps back like that, when it becomes wide usage, the little things set you apart, like designing crappily.
Yes. All right, everyone. Take out your finger paints and get to work.
Yeah, seriously. Throw all manner of trash on a page, and then take a picture of it, and then make a digital billboard of it.
Hey, guys. It's Mig over here, and as opposed to doing another student tip, I'm going to kind of piggyback what Nate, Donovan, and Steve and Adam have been talking about in terms of the past 10 years of design. And Donovan had asked me to speak my thoughts on the next 10 years of design. And that's a loaded question. I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow, because I don't think we can predict the future of the next 10 years of graphic design or next 10 years of anything for that matter. For what it's worth, I think we've got our feelers out for what might be the next year of our industry. And I have some thoughts on that. For instance, Steve and Donovan mentioned a lot about how the line of technology is what helps change our communication, and that the growth of technology is changing. And because of that, it changes the way we design. I totally, totally agree with that. If you think about it now, if you've been to a graphic design conference or any conference within the past couple of years, When you go to the main stage, you'll notice that everybody has their head down, looking at their phone, tweeting, or on their mobile device, using their device to text, to put out updates, instead of actually experiencing, you know, the conference or the show. And think about when you board a plane. All up in first class, it's all these people with their heads down on their mobile device. So where I think a lot of things are going to be going to is the growth of mobile, and how everything now, a lot of our platforms now are going mobile. And it's been this way for a while, but I think there's going to be a need for solid strategic design for mobile devices. Think about it now, Foursquare is starting to take over and people are becoming mayors of who knows what. It's getting crazy, but I really think mobile is one way that designers are going to need to, you know, have under their tool belt, you know, to succeed. Beyond that, you could say, what's the next Twitter? What's the next Facebook? I don't think you can really gauge that, and I don't think you should care, because Twitter and Facebook might die out in the next 5 years. But one thing I know that won't die is email. Email has been around forever, not forever, but, you know, it's been around for a while, and it's still solid, and it's still, you know, one of the most used communication platforms of today. So what I think the next 10 years is going to happen is our designers are going to need to learn how to design emails more strategically or better. Bring more art direction to emails instead of filling, you know, a center column and dumping content into a bucket. I think print, you know, isn't going to die. And just like Steve said, the word print is so vague now. I really think the next 10 years of design is going to be, or hopefully going to be, bringing better art direction to our quote unquote interactive, you know, mediums. And email's not going to go away. In fact, I think we should, you know, focus on designing better emails and how can we communicate through email even better. But on that last point, like we were talking about at the end, it's going to be the authenticity. With iStock Photo selling dollar photos and Adobe software getting cheaper and cheaper, it is true. Everyone and their mother can be a graphic designer, but what's really going to change things, or what's really going to set everyone else apart, is the originality. I really like Scott Hall and all of his illustrators that he reps, and their phrase or their tagline is original art works, or original artworks. And it, I think that's really going to be the difference maker in the connection with business and art, or commerce and art. Not to say that everything's going to go with a hand-drawn aesthetic, but art that was created custom for the piece, or, you know, photographs done, you know, on purpose for the client, I think is going to be the difference between a homebrewed designer and an actual legitimate professional graphic designer. So yeah, next 10 years are going to be crazy, but I'm just excited for what we're all going to have to adapt to.
To send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.